Praise the Lord. As we get on Facebook, I want everybody to go ahead and get some notes out, your Bible out. If you don't have notes, if you don't have a paper Bible, let's go ahead and get some apps open. Because what I want to say this morning is I'm so glad for those who are here today. First of all, what we're going to cover this morning is going to change the way you live the rest of your life. And it's going to help for those of us who are middle-aged and older. It is not too late to see prosperity in your life. This morning, the content we're going to discuss, our series, is called Choosing Poverty or Prosperity. And did you know it is a choice? Isn't that awesome? It's not the hand that you were dealt. And we're going to break that myth today. Amen. But the reason I point out the fact that for those of us who are middle-aged and older, this is not too late for us to apply those things in order to see the plan and the purpose of God in our life. But I'm extremely excited for the young people in this place this morning, because these are the principles that, if applied, will set the course of your life on a higher road than many of those around you. So this morning, we're going to jump right into the Word, and I have one scripture today. Isn't that awesome? We're going to hang out with one scripture today, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. This is one of my favorites, and if you don't know it, I would suggest you write it down, highlight it, find it so that you can keep it in front of you. This is something that young kids hear when they're in Sunday school. This is something that you can hold on to when things don't look the brightest, when you don't know what God's plan is, what's going on. Because sometimes we walk through life and he only has a step in front of us that he reveals as we're walking through life. And this scripture is one that I hold on to personally. It's Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say? It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We need to look at this word called prosper. And I understand some of us have heard many different definitions of what prosperity is. We've heard several different teachings on it, but let's just go ahead and put all those aside. Anything that might be a turnoff when we talk about prosperity, I want you to go ahead and put that aside, and let's be open-minded this morning. Let's be open-hearted, because I'm telling you right now, what we're going to cover is going to set us free. Amen. And what that word prosper means is welfare, success. God is not looking for us to drag ourselves through life, hoping that one day things might get better. And what we're going to look at is how we can come into relationship with him in order for these types of plans to manifest or be fulfilled or actually be experienced in our lives. It is essential for us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and to apply the Word of God, because he wants us to live out these plans for our lives. And whose plans are they? Our plans? Mom and dad's plans? My friend's plans for my life? No, his plans. Because listen, though plans we come up with and though plans others suggest might sound good, the only plans that will step you in to success, true riches and prosperity, are his plans. And those who want to come with you can do the same things that we're going to talk about, and they're going to see the same results. Isn't that awesome? But for those who don't want to come alongside of you, just take heart that God will bring people alongside of you who want to walk the journey as well. Amen. So he wants us to live this out. He wants us to experience his love, his prosperity, and he wants us to enjoy his hope in a glorious future. You know, I know that there are many who wake up every morning with dread, not sure as far as what they're going to be facing that day, maybe hoping that things will change to such a degree that if they don't, they're thinking about suicide. See, God has hope. He has a glorious future. And we cannot look at what we've experienced or what other people's experience or expectation for us, allowing those things to limit what we can expect from God. Listen, God will show you things to come. Ask him to show you. He's not gonna show you everything because it may not be time yet, but he does promise to show you things to come. And everything that he will show you will be for a glorious future. But we must work alongside of him. He's only half the equation. He's got the plan, but it's for you. It's for me. And so we need to come alongside of him and walk with him. So I want to look at, first of all, starting with ourselves. We need to face the truth. See, oh man, it was so good, and now we're going to come down for a second. See, the hardest thing to face when we become discontent or frustrated with something, with our life, with our situation, is facing ourselves. We have to face ourselves, because the easiest thing to do is shift blame. Oh, it can't be me, right? Can't be me. So a lot of times what we do is we wait for outside variables to change in hopes that if they do or when they do, it will change our situation automatically. But because these various moving parts most commonly cannot be controlled by us, we end up stuck, angry, unfulfilled, unmotivated, unwilling, and lethargic in our progress and our growth because it's just not happening. And so we settle. We look for quick ways of recovery, or we try to escape, when the truth is that any poor habits or behaviors or mindsets are going to set us right back to where we started, if not worse. So let that sink in for a second. I had to face some things with myself. And it's hard, especially for some of us who are just like, well, I got straight A's. I always got accolades everywhere I went. I never did anything, never got in trouble. And now all of a sudden I have to humble myself and face the facts that there might be some things I have to change. But when we look outside of ourselves, it doesn't do any good because we begin to compare ourselves with others. So we either become complacent, whatever, it's never going to change, or we become discouraged, man, I wish I could do that, but I'll never get there, or bitter, well, whatever, I hate all y'all. Anybody hear those kinds of attitudes out there? I know I've said it myself, right? But what we're talking about today relates to everyone in all arenas and all levels of living. See, when we feel stuck, it's not the end. We need to relook at this. It's the very beginning. Because when we hit a wall, that means it's time to change directions, which lays out an entire different path in front of us. How exciting. Doesn't mean you have to go right back to where you were. Obviously, it didn't get you anywhere. So we need to change directions. That beginning starts with you and me. And it involves growth. I love that word. Growth. There's a reason why it's called growing pains. Nobody enjoys it. But if you recognize the reward on the way, you'll endure it and you'll walk through. See, if we are hungry for more, look at the areas of influence. If you're hungry to have more influence, more success, more money, better positions, further in ministry, maybe there's ministry in your heart and you don't know where to get started. How about a family? Maybe your family right now is not going in a good direction, but you want it to go in a better direction. Maybe you don't have a family of your own yet, but you're interested and your desire is burning to have one day. You know, you can fill in the blank with anything. But in order to see those things come to pass in our life, growth is necessary. And it all starts with developing your parents. No, it starts with developing you and me. It's personal development. And this is the path less traveled because it takes tenacity. It takes patience, commitment, consistency, and intentionality. This is a daily decision. I'm working on developing myself. No more of this complacent in and out attitude that just says, well, I'll just wake up whenever I feel like it. I'll go to work whenever I feel like it. I'll read the Bible whenever I feel like it. I'll go to church whenever I feel like it. I'll call my mom whenever I feel like it. That's complacency. And in order for us to see the things that our hearts are yearning for, it requires personal development that in turn will help us to grow. See, at first it'll feel like you have to say no to a whole bunch of things that you'd rather be doing. But in time, you'll begin to see your influences increase around you. People will notice something's different about you. Your money will increase. And the respect that others have towards you will increase. Personal development never stops. Whether you're 20, whether you're 60, personal development will never stop. And if we're willing to keep it going, because you can put the brakes on, but then you'll stay right where you are, if not retract. Personal growth continues every day. But even though it never stops, neither should it, since there's always new things to learn, better things to do. What does Paul say? That every day we must renew our mind. That doesn't have an expiration date on it. That means, and this is something that I believe the Lord kind of revealed to me, that means that if Paul is telling us to renew our minds on a daily basis, that means today I possibly have mindsets that are hindering me that I don't even realize it yet because the revelation of God's light has not been shed on it yet. But as I grow, he'll show me, renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. I'm human, and I have the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm not God, which means I'm still learning. He's my creator. But see, many wish to be at a higher level, and they wish they were more accomplished or more satisfied. Anybody else here feel that way? Dude, I wish I had more going on, right? But more often than not, people most commonly settle for less because it's easier. And then they blame it on something they can't control. Well, it's your fault that I'm this way. It's because of my ancestry that I'm this way. It's because of fill in the blank. It's somebody else's fault for my life and where it is now. And I don't really want to put out forth the effort because it's just too hard. So I'm just going to spend the rest of my life complaining, wishing I had more, when God is standing right beside me saying, if you'll just listen and follow, you'll have exceedingly abundantly. But it takes personal development. It takes a decision. So here's an illustration. Let's say, for example, you take a pastor running a church of 1,000 members and then place them over a church of only 100. In almost every situation, that small church will start growing because of its leader. However, on the flip side, if you take a pastor of 100 members and place them over a 1,000-member church, it won't be long before the church starts to shrink. Why is that? It's because of the mindset of the leader. So it's the same with money, poverty, and even business. Let's look at the lottery for an example. Someone who wins the lottery will soon lose the millions they've won if they don't learn how to handle that much, or they've never experienced handling that much money. They'll go right back to the way they handled money before with a little amount. Sometimes we think, well, if I just win the lottery, yeah, you might have a second of wealth, but it won't be long before you're back to where you were. However, someone who has made themselves a millionaire, who have learned the business principles and how to handle money. If they go bankrupt, it won't be long before you see them rise again for the second, for the third, for the fourth time, because they've learned how to build themselves. They've learned how to build business. They've learned how to manage money. They've learned how to follow solid mindsets concerning finances. This is not a luck for the draw type of thing. These are principles that are natural and supernatural that work for everyone. Poor people are poor because of a mindset problem. And the rich are rich for the same reason. There are several areas that we need to grow in. And growth in our life will lead the circumstances. Everything as we grow will grow with us. So here's a fork in the road. And this is what I'm sensing in my heart. There are people who think, oh, I've heard this before. Why have things not changed then? It's because we don't want to start with us. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. I don't want to mess everything up. But then there's the other side that say, I've lived life. You can't tell me that the way things are not the way things are. So let's go ahead and take a step back, take a deep breath, and let's approach this as we continue. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you are not seeing the prosperity you know in your heart that you can see, do not listen to the voices of complacency. Do not listen to the voices of, it'll never happen for me. Squash those lies like a bug. The reason that the Lord is putting this on our heart to teach is because God sees promise. God sees potential. God sees fulfillment that He wants to manifest in your life. Wealth is not a specific number, but why are we putting a lid on what God can do? Do we even understand the wealth that Abraham walked in? And through Jesus, Paul said that the blessing of Abraham is upon the children of salvation. Are you born again this morning? Then that blessing is for you. He had flocks upon flocks of animals. He had gold. He had servants. Servants of servants. He was a very, very, very wealthy man. And it does not stop when we step into our community. The blood of Jesus breaks through every wall, every boundary, every cultural divide, every color of our skin, every background, every level of education. Do not listen to Satan when he says you're disqualified. You are more than qualified because of what Jesus has done. So this morning, if you're feeling anxious, release that. If you're feeling scared, release it. This is easy. Why is this easy? Because though it requires personal development, we're not leaning on our ability alone. He wants to help us. So don't look at yourself as the one that will never see prosperity for your life. Your background has nothing to do with your future. God said He has a hope and a future. Quit filling in the story for yourself before God has a chance to show you what's coming down the road. I'm going to say that again. Do not think your future is going to be a repeat of your past. Quit filling in the blank of what your future has to hold before he has a chance to show you. Ask him. Open your heart to him. And yes, you do deserve better than what you've had. I think sometimes it's like the girl that wants to get married. Has anybody seen Runaway Bride? Love that movie, okay? She walks into the bridal shop and says, I want that dress. And she said, well, Maggie, that's a dress that's $1,000. And she goes, and I have $1,000. And she said, well, Maggie, because you've run away from 3 different weddings before you said I do, she goes, it's just expensive for one of your dresses. She said, the one that's for $300 that you have in the back that we've reserved for you, that's good enough. And the more they kept going back, the more the shopkeeper persuaded Maggie that she didn't deserve a dress like that. And so she ended up walking towards the storeroom and just started to just cave. And the reporter that was with her, and you'll have to watch the movie so you get the whole picture, he said, hold up a second. I'm sorry, are you not a shopkeeper trying to sell a dress? Well, I am, but it's for one of her weddings. Right, but is this for sale? She said, yes. Well then, and he steps up onto the platform and grabs the mannequin the dress is on. He goes, well then we're gonna take this dress. And see, you need to understand, as long as people continue to persuade you, you don't qualify, Jesus got up on that podium, grabbed the dress and said, we're getting this one and you're gonna be happy with it. When we're teaching on prosperity, stop disqualifying yourself. It doesn't matter where you were born, what happened to you out of your control, who raised you, who didn't raise you. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and God is your Father, and he says, qualified. Devil, get out of the way. Amen. Boy, I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, we're getting this dress, and you're going to be happy with it. Amen. So in order for us to start developing ourselves, we need to begin building the right foundation. That makes sense, right? Has anyone in here trained for a marathon? Maybe a kayaking trip, maybe a hike that you knew you were going to take? You don't go in flip-flops, do you? No. Like I did one time. Or you don't go, especially in the mountains here, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for like a 3-mile hike, knowing that the sun's about to set and there's bear country, right? You need to prepare, don't you? Especially if it's any distance at all, you need to have snacks, you need to have water, you need to have the right equipment, you need to plan ahead when you're going to show up, how long it's going to take, calling people to watch over your car, whatever the case might be. See, we all know that in any area of life, no one gets anywhere, especially to the destination you're looking at, by only thinking about it or hoping for it or just asking a whole bunch of questions. Like, questions are good. But can you stop asking and start doing? Like, I homeschool, right? And my kids just want to keep asking questions, and what they're doing is they're procrastinating on their work. And I'm like, look, the third question was enough. Back to your schoolwork. See, they all have their place when we hope and we dream and we talk and we ask questions, but they don't mean anything if there's no corresponding action. People can spend their entire lives talking about a dream and never actually fulfilling it. And they die brokenhearted, unfulfilled, and they, what do they label? They say, well, I guess it just was never meant to be. But they spend their life sitting on the couch talking about it and not doing it. For example, Aaron and I have hiked to Alum's Cave. Anybody been up there before? Beautiful hike. But it's not easy. It's moderate. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's extremely difficult, but for anybody who has any kind of, you know, back issues or hip issues, you're probably not going to want to do it. It is moderate. There's a lot of rock type steps. There's water in different parts of the pathway. So you just kind of have to take it. But even though it's like 4.5 miles, so it's not extremely long, but it's not very short, we did not make it by just parking and looking from the car going, man, that's going to be a great hike, and then go home. Right? That would be stupid. It'd be funny. Like, I hear people laughing. Like, that would be silly. Doesn't even make sense. We didn't get out of the car and then just sit there on the little handrail there across the stream and just go, man, wouldn't that be lovely? I wonder what it would be like to go hike up there and then go home. See, it took commitment. Okay, we're getting up. We're going over there. We're heading out. We got a plan for the kids, et cetera, et cetera. We were determined. So when you get there, okay, we're doing this thing. But then it took one step at a time. We even got rained on. I mean, like the whole nine yards. We were like, oh, I got to take a break for a second. You know, sit down, take a snack, whatever. But once we got there, the reward was worth every step. And everything that we went through, got a little hungry, got a little wet. We endured it because it was worth it. Coming back down, we're like, man. When I got rained on, it seemed like that was miserable, but now it wasn't even that big of a deal. Amen. But in life, it's the same. It's the very same. And anyone can have a good, successful, fulfilling, and rewarding life. It is possible. And we're going to cover some principles through this series, actions, principles that will build that kind of life. And listen, it takes one step at a time. But if somebody said, hey, if you'll just take these steps, you'll see X, Y, and Z. For some things, we believe them. For the Bible, sometimes not so much. Because it takes personal development. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifice. But if somebody said, hey, if you'll go to the corner store and find Susan, she'll have an envelope for you. I want you to take that envelope and then go down to the bank and say that I sent you. They're gonna open an account and give you a card. And that card will not only have access for what's in the envelope, but I'll be funding that account for you. Wouldn't you know it that we'd all be getting in our car and going to find Susan? But when Jesus says, follow me, narrow is the way, we say, you know what, I'm out, I'm good. But then we try to get to the Father another way, and we try to get to prosperity another way. It's like saying, I'm going to try to get to Alum's Cave another way. Well, by helicopter? I mean, there's no other way up there. With the mountains and the trees, like, you're not just going to get up there. You got to walk the trail. So in order to get to the destination that God's placed inside of your heart, we're going to have to do it his way. But here's the greatest thing. What did Jesus say? His burden is light. He's not looking for you to be some mule out there, and he's sitting on the porch drinking his lemonade, watching you sweat to death. He's working with you, but he needs our cooperation. And wouldn't it be awesome to see the things that God's placed in our life, not just here, but out here, where other people can actually see them too, which, you know, a lot of people out here are going, man, you're crazy. What are you saying? This dream of yours is just so off whack. Like, what are you talking about? And you're going, man, but it's so alive on the inside of me. And wouldn't it be amazing for it to be out here where everybody can see it? And you say, man, I give glory to God. And I'm not going to say this, but, you know, I told you so. And let God speak for himself. See, because what did Jesus say concerning prayer? It's what happens in the secret place that he rewards us openly. Why does he do it openly? Because he wants to brag on you and bring glory to him. And as we brag on him, he's exalted. And he wants to fulfill the joy. That's why he gave us Jesus, to give us the abundant life so that, why? Your joy could be full. not just partially full, not just on Christmas Day, but your entire life full. Think about gold, the actual metal gold. It's not pretty when it's first dug up out of the ground, is it? It's obviously not going to be placed on someone's neck in that state, full of rock, right, and impurities. But anything that's worth any value goes through a process that goes beyond the final product. We don't see what that gold goes through. But if you do the research, you'll see it goes through many, many, many times through the fire, through filtering, through cleansing, and then it shows up in the jewelry store. But see, the process that God's going to take us through is going to be similar. It's not going to feel comfortable. It's going to be some fire, some pruning. But see, what people don't see, he will reward openly. And what happens is when that gold is taken out of the cave, nobody's proud of it. Look at me. Look at you. Nobody's necessarily, proud of it. But God is, because he created you in his image. Why are we looking to people for our acceptance and approval anyway? But see, Jesus is the one that will take us through the process, just like the miners, just like the gold proficient individuals that know what they're doing. They spend the time. They invest the time. They provide the finished product. Jesus invests in us to provide the finished product in us. And then it's placed on display. And people purchase it. See, as we develop ourselves, people will pay you for your advice. Yes, they will. People will pay you for your friendship to some degree. Influence, networking. They'll pay you in many ways, but I am talking about financially as well. Why? Because no longer do we look like a rock with some gold. We're fine jewelry. And you know very well that people who value that thing, necklace, ring, watch, boy, they spend that money and they wear it proud. When God is allowed to bring us through the process, you're not going to look the same. You're not going to be the same. So don't hold on to the same. But as we walk through the process, nobody else is going to walk through it with us except the Holy Spirit. However, he's going to show you off, bring you to a place where now people see the value. But you're not going to look at yourself the same. You're going to value yourself as well. Amen. So we have to be willing to go through the process ourselves, not just be focused on positive end results. Let's just get there already. Let's just hurry up. I just want the good stuff. I just want the fun stuff, right? I want to quote Vidar Lagarde right here. It says, unsuccessful people tend to look at the success of others and then wish they had it. But they often do not realize all of the hard work, the right choices, and the sacrifices it took to get there. See, most people, when they think of a house, they think of the siding, the roof, the windows, the grass, the doors, the interior decorating, the furnishings, right? You see these houses like on HGTV, and you're like, man, that's a beautiful house. But they don't think about the concrete, the brick, the wood, the steel that is holding that house together. However, in order for any house to stand the test of time and be of any quality at all, the foundation must be laid correctly. The framing must be square. The walls must be insulated well. I mean, who wants to live in a house that's freezing in the winter and hot in the summer? I'd be like, moving on. It might look gorgeous, but the utilities are out of the ceiling, like they hit the ceiling, and I'm always cold or hot. Doesn't make sense. See, these areas are more critical to the functionality of the house than of any of the things inside. You might have beautiful ornaments, beautiful furnishings, but like I just said, if the house is cracking and falling apart because the foundation was never laid correctly, it's just a matter of time for that roof to cave in. And the whole thing doesn't even mean anything. See, finances, success, and satisfaction are the equivalent of the furniture, the rugs, the curtains in life. These are the end results that we're looking for. That was finances, success, and satisfaction. We just want those things. But too many people focus on money and how to increase income. Hey, we're getting practical today. Or if you're in a commissions-based career, you're looking for sales. How can I sell more? How can I make more? See, increasing income and sales are not the first place to look. For me, I'm like, oh, it's not? Awesome. So now you're going to tell me what it is that I need to look at. Aren't you glad you're here today? So write this down because you're not going to want to miss it. See, instead of looking at income as our first place, we need to look at several other foundational attitudes and thought processes that need to be well cemented. We need to go back to the foundations. A lot of time, the way we function financially is how we were brought up. Whether, hey, this is how things were done, or I don't want that to happen, so because I don't really know what else to do, I'm just going to try to do the opposite. I don't know, right? We just kind of philander through our lives because nobody really taught us what to do and how money works. But see, when these foundational attitudes and thought processes are put into place, income and sales become easier. They're just, you can just pick it right off the tree. Why? Because instead of lowering the branch and somebody helping you get there, you raise yourself to that level. And you'll never want to go back down. Amen. See, marvelous end results are possible and obtainable for everyone. But we have to remember the statement, Rome was not built in a day, right? So we have to be patient. We have to look at the fact today that we are facing a brand new journey. We're facing a brand new adventure, and hey, it's going to be a challenge, but we need to know going in that if I'm interested in growth, success, money, the way God says we can have it, then we need to be patient with ourselves. It's not going to be created overnight. Success will come. Productivity will come. A fulfilling life will come, but not overnight. So this has got to be an attitude where I'm just going to set my face like flint, so to speak, stone. I'm not changing just because I'm uncomfortable. I feel a little maybe guilty. Maybe the enemy's trying to come behind this and condemn me, make me feel bad and discouraged. No, shake all that. Shake all that. That's not what we're talking about here. Devil, get out of here. Kick you out the door. This is about Jesus raising us up to a level of living that he died for us to have. He died for us to have this. Why? Because the curse of the law covers that those who do not serve him will live in, or poverty and lack will come to them. Poverty and lack. Those who do not serve the Lord, poverty and lack have access to their lives. You and I are blood-bought children of God, which means that you've been redeemed from poverty and lack. And so when we take authority over it spiritually, now we're going to bring in natural principles to help us grow and move beyond what we've created habits for. Does that make sense? So God has redeemed us spiritually, and now we've got our part to play. Amen. I'm excited about this because we're going to see all of us in this room grow and see bigger and better things in our lives. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Amen. All right. So here's the good news. These steps that anyone can take to get the successful life that we're looking for and achieve what many may have thought or said was impossible, this is for you. So you need to understand also going into this that not a lot of people are going to come along. But in the end, everybody's going to look at you and go, man, I wish I had what you had. And this is what we just said. Not everybody sees the sacrifice. And this is why more mature people in the world and in the church guard what they've worked for without just giving handouts to everybody. to say, look, I've learned some things. I've learned how to get here. I'll help you get started, but I'm not giving you a handout and I'm not holding your hand the whole way. Because if I can do it, you can too. And if you're willing to put in the sacrifice, if you're willing to put in the dedication, you'll end up valuing what God is doing in your life more so, then you also will not put yourself in a position for people to take advantage of you. Amen. See, God's trying to tell us, quit letting them take advantage of you. If it takes us spending some time in personal development, then maybe we'll finally begin to see, oh, I see now what God's talking about. I'm too valuable. He invested too much for me to allow people to take advantage of me. So now it's time to say no, it's time to raise up and be okay with it. Not feel guilty, not play the violin strings and say, oh, that's a beautiful tune. You know what? Go ahead and play that for somebody else. I'm not interested. I've got other things to take care of. So our last point this morning before we dismiss is the weakest link. We're going to go through this pretty quickly. So beyond the foundation of a house and the interior decorations, we all understand that there are more parts functioning than just the siding, just the cement. See, in throughout the house, there's the foundation versus the electrical system, the insulation versus the flooring. They all have their part. But if they're not working sufficiently, then you notice, and the whole house itself feels like it's not functioning properly, right? Like I said before, if it's cold, I don't want the house, right? How about if the flooring creaks, if it's warping, I don't want the house. It's just, it's not pretty. So they all have their different functionalities. So in order for us to have a quality life, there are many areas that need to be understood and executed well. We're going to walk through this in the next several weeks. And do you want to just kind of camp here for a while and see what God can do in our lives? So in order, anyone can break a bicycle chain. Anybody break a bicycle chain before? Like, man, I was going to go for a ride and now it's broken. See, it looked okay when you approached the bike, right? But as soon as you got ready and you put your weight on that pedal, snap, right? So a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And once it breaks, it's no good. Now, I understand you can fix some of these chains, but anytime you weld something or anytime you try to fix it, it's never as strong as it used to be. So let's think about a car for a minute. Brakes, fuel system, engine, steering, etc. If any of those things go out, it's not going to function properly. And it's not going to sell very well, right? I mean, you're going to want to go to work and then, right? I got to go get the bus or I got to get a ride or something. See, giving the engine a NOS, as we find in Fast and Furious, hey, I'll just do that. It won't matter if the brakes are not working. You better not. You won't be able to stop, right? Or how about I'm going to put on brand new tires and my car is going to look good, but the oil's bad. And if I keep driving it, it's going to damage my engine, which is more important because if the engine goes out, I can't drive it at all. It might look good in the driveway, but I can't use it. So let's not be like most who overemphasize on one area of their life while neglecting other important truths. You see, this is where instead of getting in a hurry, we need to back up and say, okay, Lord, I may be this age, and I want to accomplish this stuff. For some of us in here that are older, quit putting the clock in the back of your mind that's ticking down. Shut that thing off. Quit telling yourself you only have this many years to live. Who says? Don't put a limit on your life. Don't put an expiration date on your life because you will have what you say. You want 70 years, you'll have it. If you want 90, you'll have it. Be careful. If you are not satisfied, Psalm 91 said that he will give you a long life. but not just give it to you, he'll satisfy. He doesn't want his children going unsatisfied. So don't expire your life. Get in touch with him and start speaking what he says about you. All right? We need to understand that our lives are not just for today, they're for tomorrow and years to come. But see, God is also a generational God. He's thinking about your children and your grandchildren and your children's children. And what you decide to do with your life today affects them. It affects them. It will either help them or it will bring hurdles that they will have to be delivered from, step over, move around, get healing from. You say, well, man, that's a lot of pressure. No pressure. It's just understanding that what we sow, we reap. So let's sow personal development so that we become more valuable to people on a natural level and we become fulfilling of the potential that God has for us. This is not a condemning message, man. This should be exciting because we're stepping into a direction where we're actually going to see results. We don't want to emphasize on just one area of our life. We want to have a broader spectrum and say, Lord, I am very complicated as a human being. Anybody else? And he's like, yes, I know, but I designed you that way. And so let's take a step back and let's look at the big picture. See, he's got plans for you that you don't even know yet. And what we do today will either move us closer or further away. And what do you mean? Because as time moves on, he will either move you there sooner or hold you back because you're not ready. And the things he's showing you are things from him that he wants you to step into. But if you're not ready, he's not going to give you something you can't handle. Isn't that what the Bible says? You say, well, Lord, it's just taken me forever to find somebody to get married to. Well, self-development. Self-development. Taking our time to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. So there's many areas that we need to function, that need to function properly in our lives in order for us to be successful. See, let's look at an accountant or a doctor. They may be good at what they do, but if they don't know how to deal with people well, their business is not going to last very long, right? They're going to say, well, this is what my business is, and if you don't like it, then go somewhere else. Well, people will go somewhere else, and then they're not going to be making any money, and nobody's going to send people to their business because it's going to get out that these people don't know how to deal with people. See, over the next several weeks, we're going to go over such things as thinking processes. We're going to look at practical steps to take. We're going to discuss various areas that need to be functioning at full capacity in our lives. This is going to be a lot of fun. And if you'll stay hungry and come with us to learn, to grow, and be willing to be consistently applying these things in your life, you too will make it to the top. Amen. So it takes effort. And it might seem like you're the only one in your circle that's walking this journey out. But soon you will have a view that only you can enjoy. And you'll experience results that bystanders, your mockers, the jesters, will only wish that they had. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Ian, if you can play. Hallelujah. I'm glad you came this morning, and I'm glad for those on Facebook who are tuning in that you tuned in this morning. I believe that this is timely. Amen. Listen, the way we've been living, and this is, again, this is not criticizing. The way we've been living is the way we've been living, and as Pastor Aaron and I are praying out the message of God for our house, we feel led to all step up together. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to be an example to our families, our community? I'm tired of believers thinking they have to be broke. Aren't you tired of having to go paycheck to paycheck, hoping you have enough gas to get somewhere? hoping the food you have will last for the whole week. That when it does, you're looking for where you need to get the next. Isn't it time to be the lender, not the borrower? To be the one that when you are the one asking, now you're the one providing. You're the one that God wants to use to bring life, to bring hope. And here's the greatest thing. Sometimes the enemy will lie to us and say, well, you're damaged goods. All the better a testimony. See, because what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good. And when they say, oh, wait a minute, we know what you've done. We know what's been done to you. We know what you've walked through. And look at how financially free you are. What's your secret? Look at how successful you are. Now, of course, these are the humble ones. These are the ones that want to learn. But the others are just going to make fun. They're going to mock. And you might as well just go ahead and wave at those, because I'm going on with God. Listen, you do not need to stay where you are. And this is for the people who know on the inside there's more. When you hear that cry in the middle of the night, God, I know there's more. Here's your more. When I asked the Lord, I told Aaron, when I asked the Lord about full-time ministry, and this is my story, what you're doing is you're stepping away from a consistent paycheck. Whoa, that's scary. And then finding out you've got child number 4 on the way. Okay. So now here's the opportunity of getting in fear and running back to what you know, or stepping out on what you hear and holding firm to what the word says. And I kind of look at it as a horse running full tilt, and all of a sudden your saddle goes upside down and you're under the belly of that thing. You're getting kicked around, dirt hitting your face. You can either let go, hope that thing doesn't step on you, or you can swing that leg around and fight as hard as you can to figure out how you're gonna sit back up on top of that thing. And let me tell you something. When I say the battle is the Lord's, that's what it means. But you cannot sit down and not fight the good fight of faith. Jesus, you've provided this for me. So that's out of the way. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to try to focus my energy on trying to understand that. I get it. So it's mine. What am I struggling with? My doubt and unbelief. So what is the good fight of faith? Being fully persuaded, I mean fully, he will do what he says. And he has a covenant with you that says, as you put your trust in me, you will see me do what I promised. But even when you mess up, my covenant with you rides through that. You don't cut that cord with me, that bond with me, just because you tripped up, just because you said the wrong thing, just because you forgot to tithe. Ha ha ha. Listen, his covenant with you is stronger than any agreement, any relationship you'll ever have with a human being, marriage included. He died for you. You're valuable to him. And so as we apply the principles that the word lays out, you'll see. You won't just think about it. You won't just hear stories of everybody else and think, well, I'm just getting passed by. You will see it in your life. And then you will be able to supply to others. But here's the greatest thing. She'll be able to pass it on to your children. And say, look, I struggled through some things. And I learned that I didn't have to. But instead of sitting there and wallowing in condemnation and feeling bad about myself, I decided to do something with what I learned. And now I'm passing this off to you so that you can begin where I left off. And so your children won't have to, if they will apply it, because there is an age that they have to decide, am I going to do this? But they won't have to start where you started. Hey, I understand. Sometimes we get dealt a raunchy hand, don't we? And the enemy wants us to get onto this blame game and say, man, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it, Dad. Where were you when I needed you? Thanks a lot. But what does the Bible say? That in the spirit of adoption, you're his. So though we have biological parents, though we were raised by guardians, we don't need to dishonor, but we need to recognize he's my daddy. So I don't have to answer to how I was raised. I don't have to answer to what I was dealt with. I can step up. I can move on. And God's got things for me to walk in and use to influence others. Amen? So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone listening this morning, everyone who's here this morning. I pray, Father, that as we walk out this series, Lord, choosing poverty or prosperity, I ask you, Father, to shed light on areas that we need to change. Hey, this entire series, we're walking into with the understanding that we are going to have to change things without question. So, Lord, help us, Father, to stay in a position of humility and teachability, because it's all in respect to the fact that you want to show how good you are. You want to show us what you've got planned for us. And your word says that your ways are not our ways. And your thoughts are not your thoughts. So we want to yield to you. We want to submit to you, Father, our thinking, our upbringing, our current situations. Yes. We want to submit those things to you, Father, because as you are King, we aren't just your servants. We serve you, but we're not your servants. We're your children. We are kings and priests. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we apply the word in our thinking, in our lifestyles, we will be raised up to actually functioning on that level. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you, Facebook, for being with us. You are dismissed. We will see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. Well, let's just give him a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good, and we love you. Amen. Pastor.